Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's see who's savvy and who gets taken to the cleaners.
With the first pick, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Jamarcus Russell's going to immediately energize that Raider Nation.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Friday. What's going on?
I want you to know that you are going to get zero effort out of me today.
What are you guys doing?
Just buckle up.
Yeah, you're on flight tonight?
I'm on island time, and I'm already drunk, so just be prepared. I'm coming with hot takes, and by hot takes, really a whole lot of nothing. I'm just going to yell loud noises. I'm going to go Stephen A. Smith and just scream about, I don't know, something. Scoot Henderson or Michael Penix or, I don't know, LeBron James. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this.
Well, that'll make you a lot of money in this business. It seems. Andrew Nemec is back today. Hello.
Hi.
Nice to see you. Good that we have a real sports expert here.
There you go.
Since you're mailing it in.
I'm going to do a lot of this. Good answer. I agree. I agree totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
The power dynamic in my home has shifted after one appearance on your guys' show. So
what
I'm
happened?
Very appreciative of that. Well,
your wife finally respects you?
No. Well, no. Oh.
Just wait. So, you were on ice.
Couple different things.
Okay, fine. I'll stay with you.
We talked about gambling on the draft again. So then that whole conversation came up again when I got home.
Does she understand what I'm saying?
No. She's anti the gambling.
It's so hard to
explain
that.
And then on top of that, I was the draft gnome because my chair is very low all day. My daughter loves to hear her. She just learned. She's five. She just learned her last name. In case she's lost or anything, so she knows her whole name now. And so when she hears Nemec on the air, she says, "That's me." So she likes to listen for a little bit. And you kept calling me the draft gnome. So I came home, and she called me draft gnome and gnome and cackled like it was the funniest joke of all time.
Does she know what that means?
Yes, because there's an episode of Gravity. It's a Disney show. And there's these little gnomes.
Gravity Falls?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Gravity Falls with the little hats. And
there's
gnomes in that show. And they're like little men. And she called me at one point, "You're a gnome. You're a little man." So my stock at
home
is like, has never been lower.
Well,
I dropped her off at school today. And she said, my daddy's a gnome. That's how bad. I mean, she's all to her teacher.
Oh, fantastic.
It's your fault for being a victim. I don't know what to tell you.
Did the teacher reply with, we know, babe. We know.
Well, it's a Spanish immersion school. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping they don't teach her how to say gnome in Spanish. So then that sticks. And
see, Papa es pequeño.
There it is.
So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
And by the way, well, it wasn't me. It was the listeners.
No, it was good.
And you are kind of short. I mean, let's chair aside. How tall are you?
Like average for like a. No, I'm 5'8.
He's squeezed, yeah. Which means 5'7.
Yeah. No, I legitimately am 5'8, but. I mean, I am.
So you're not buying it.
But I've never been. I've never felt weird about
anyone
being short.
Anyone under 5'10, just assume that no matter what they tell you, they're adding like an inch and a half.
But I think you know me, and I am the like hyper analytical, hyper statistics guy. And yeah,
you seem 5'8.
Yeah, let's get to.
I give 5'8 vibes, don't
let's,
I?
Let's get the.
Can we measure you?
Is that with the man bun or no?
Like, if it's on top, then I'm 5'8 and a half.
Samurai knot? I just think if we went flat-footed, I don't think we're getting 5'8.
You don't think so?
I think
so?
You're Kyler Murray and I'm. I think you're trying to stretch that. That neck is going at full length right there.
The chair is doing me no favors. I am once again in tiny chair.
I love that you're in the baby chair. That makes me happy.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Well, it's very weird that there's an NBA game on, though. There's an NBA playoff game on at 3 o'clock.
Started very early.
It's strange.
Indiana, this has to Milwaukee. Fit for you, though. You said you're already drunk. It's 2:30. Well, now it's 3, obviously. Yeah. So it's 3 o'clock. There's an NBA game on, and you've already tied one on. Yeah, so if it were 5:30, we'd be right in line.
That's true. It's just weird to look up and, like, there's an NBA playoff game happening, and it's, you know, we're almost in the second quarter, and it's just after 3. It's a bit strange for me.
It's like a summer league tip-off time.
Yes, it feels that way.
And that's when Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers really have shined. Summer league and play-in. Hey,
they're up
stuff.
By 10 right now on Milwaukee, but Middleton's playing on his bum leg.
So where are you going? You're going to
Lucia. St. Lucia.
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah, we got a red eye out of here. So.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I am not drunk yet, but you know we're.
You just said you were. Which is it?
As far as you know,
you're toying with Nemec's little 5-year-old daughter's emotions.
I'm 5'8". He's already drunk.
Yeah. Lots of
we
lies.
We all have our lies.
Lots of lies
happening.
Well, that's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited for you.
Can't say I've ever been. I know very little about it, other than it's got Saint in it, and I figure with Jimmy Buffett passing, which was another blow. You know, I lose John Prine, and then I lose Jimmy Buffett. You know, the whole, I got
you lose them.
I lose them.
Not the world.
The world.
Just you.
We all. Yeah. You know, okay. The royal we, the editorial we.
Okay.
You know, I'm pulling the Buffett. I figured it's an apropos time to go to Saint somewhere. So, oh. It was the cheapest of the Saints that I could find for flights. I literally just started looking at with any place with Saint in the front of it, and I was like, hey, that's a good deal. Lucia it is.
How many islands are there with Saint in the name down there?
There's a handful. There's like St. Croix, St. Bart, St. John, St. Thomas, St. Lucia. So a bunch of those in the French and U.S.
Why was
Virgin
it the
Islands.
Cheapest to go to St. Lucia?
Couldn't tell you. It's just the,
is
like,
it the dumpiest?
Actually, I've heard a lot. I had never known anyone that had gone, and I'd looked in the past at going down to that area. And since I picked it, mine was just, it was the best deal. I was like on Skyscanner. And like I said, I just put in the weeks I want to go.
Damian Lillard writhing on the floor in pain.
Oh,
not good.
No.
They're already sans Giannis, too.
Yeah. Giannis Middleton is banged up.
He's holding his knee.
Yeah, he's holding his knee.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that doesn't look
good. Isaac, I count 22 islands with Saint in them.
22? Oh,
he can't even put weight
he's
on
literally
it.
Hopping off the court.
Uh-oh. And his shoe is off. Oh, boy, that's...
Yeah. It doesn't look good.
No.
He's in trouble.
No, that's all kinds of bad. Well, no reason for Giannis to come back now.
Well, watch Doc quit. Like right now.
Mid-game.
He's like, I'm out.
Deuces.
F this. Oh, I don't deserve this.
Has anybody ever seen
It's
it looks not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
That wasn't just banging knees with someone. His whole knee.
Oh,
it's an ankle.
Yeah, I think it's his ankle.
It looks like he got stepped on.
Well, his whole shoe comes.
Did he roll his ankle?
He's grabbing
his
knee.
And then
he's grabbing his knee. I know that's, it's tough to tell, but there's an awkward fall as he's going in for a layup. And I just know when you're hopping off on one leg off the floor after writhing around on the ground, that's not a great sign.
All right, well.
Yeah, I do think it'd be funny if Doc quit mid-series.
Throws
can
the
he
towel.
Go, can he go back? like game four, can he go back to broadcasting and then broadcast Milwaukee's?
Who's broadcasting this game?
I don't know. We don't have the sound on, so I don't know who's.
God. Maybe. What about Hubie? Maybe Hubie comes off the bench.
Hasn't Doc Rivers lost far and away the most game sevens and the most elimination games of any coach ever?
And I think he's authored, I want to say, three of the four greatest playoff collapses of all time.
Yeah, like, I think he's lost three series down or up 3-1.
Up 3-1.
Can you imagine the Bucks front office being like, you know what'll fix this?
Doc Rivers.
I mean, that's it's a weird choice.
When you fire your coach like a quarter of the way through the season, I don't know where else you go. Plus, he was already.
But I mean, not Doc Rivers, right? Like, safely not Doc. You know what we need to be good in? What? Right. Well, we don't care about the regular season so much. We need to be good in the playoffs. Ooh, who's available that's great in the playoffs?
NBA champion.
I know. Doc Rivers.
NBA champion.
Aren't you handicapping yourself? Desperate. Let's make this harder on ourselves. Yeah.
So Hubie Brown is on the call. Would you sub in Hubie Brown for Doc right now?
Oh, no question.
Undeniable.
Dude, Hubie's the man. He's like 95 years old, and he knows more than Doc Rivers will ever know.
He's bringing in that Don Sutton perm. Yeah. Let's make this happen.
Call in the righty.
Let's go.
After the Lakers get swept, can LeBron just become the coach of the Bucks?
Yeah.
And they fire?
What's the last time? Wasn't Pete Rose a player coach?
Yeah.
In Cincinnati?
Yeah, player manager.
Yeah, because that was a thing. Like, back in the day, you'd have the old player coach. So.
And then he'd bet on his team.
but it's not a big deal anymore. Which, he's waiting for that Reggie Bush. Well, we all gamble now, therefore, like, no big deal.
The last player coach in the NBA was Dave Cowens.
Really?
In 1978.
For whom?
Celtics, right?
I think it would be the Celtics. It's Celtics. I did have to look that up. I did not.
I wonder why people don't do player coaches more now.
How many athletes do you think could do it?
Well,
most of the time, the problem is the great players don't make good coaches.
14.
I don't know. He just asked how many. I was 14.
Well, I know Russell did it. You know, Russell was a player coach.
Bill Russell, yeah.
The problem is you have to have someone that has enough respect, but also enough sense to not put himself in, and or if he does put himself in, know when to take himself out. I mean, you imagine how insufferable LeBron, like, he's insufferable now.
You don't think he'd make a good player coach?
No, I think he'd make a terrible player coach. He's the same dumbass that, like, wants...
Well, he kind of is a player.
He's a player GM. Yeah, him and his son. He's the idiot that said his son could start right now. Like, no, you can't have that.
Who would be a worse player coach, him or DeMarcus Cousins? I seriously think... From the way they behave, they're like similar for different reasons.
Boogie Cousins.
But in terms of
are you
coach,
serious?
Yes.
You compared LeBron to Boogie Cousins?
Oh, as a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I think LeBron would way overstep. I think he'd alienate teammates. And I think Cousins would be like, Cousins would be the ultimate player's coach. Let's all just roll a ball out and have a good time. LeBron would overdo it, be a red ass, and piss off all his teammates.
Well, last time I checked,
I think they would both be a disaster in different ways.
Being a player in the NBA, very challenging. Being a coach in the NBA, very challenging. Go ahead and throw that together. It's like why there aren't a lot of GM coaches. It's two very challenging jobs to put on one guy.
I don't think it's that hard to be a player, though.
Yeah, it seems pretty easy, right? No
well,
big
they're
deal.
Just, you know, they're...
Do the Mason Plumlee model.
They
don't
practice a lot. They just get out there and dunk.
Well, imagine, like, you're the coach, and you're having to get on someone's ass. Meanwhile, you're out there shooting 3 of, like, 20 at this point. Yeah, it may be somewhat problematic to try to draw up a play for someone.
I'm trying to think who...
That's, like, literally the worst idea in modern
sports. I'm wondering
sports.
About, like, reverse engineering it now. Like, which coaches right now could still suit up? Like, I feel like D'Amico Ryans could slap the pads on out there.
No, we couldn't.
Why not?
The only answer awesome. For this is about to be J.J. Redick. J.J.
yeah,
Redick
I thought about him.
Is
yeah.
the closest...
But he doesn't play anymore.
Well, right, but either do any coach in the NFL. We just said which coach could do it.
Okay,
so he's about to be a coach, potentially.
Oh, yes. You think he'll get the Charlotte job?
At least he's
in the
mix.
Yeah. So I thought you were talking about player.
So he would be the answer.
So 40-year-old-ass J.J. Redick is coming out. Might be a defensive liability on that. Where's Tim Legler? No, none of those guys could play.
Find
him
in the corner
for
three.
I don't think any of them could play.
I don't like your attitude about this, mechanic. You need to think outside the box.
D'Amico Ryans be a linebacker.
That would be a disaster. The most athletic, the position that requires almost the most athleticism.
Fine, Dan
right
Campbell.
In the entire
when we played.
Dan Campbell would die.
I've told the story that we played Tulane in a bowl game, and Sean King was their quarterback. Played a bunch of years in the NFL.
Yeah,
was a really good player. And we had a white nickel corner. you don't want a white nickel corner. It's not good.
I think the NFL does. Cooper DeJean got drafted in the first.
No.
Could you mix in a black?
So I ended up with Sean King in the when we were in Tampa together, and he found out that I played on that BYU team, and he was laughing. He's like, "Oh my god!" He's like, "That white corner you had," and I'm like, "Yeah, Roddick, he was a good dude." He's like, "Oh my god!" He goes, "Anytime we saw him come into the game, we had an audible. This would be the D'Amico Ryans. We called it toast. So anytime they'd see him come into the game, they would tap their helmet and go toast, toast, and that just meant they were gonna burn him. And so they just took whoever was on him, and they just ran a go route right by."
Thank you.
That happened in an Oregon high school football
game. Poor bastard.
In an Oregon high school football game in the state title game, they called it ceviche.
Yeah.
And whenever this corner came in, they ran ceviche, which was a go on his side. Yeah. They ran it three times for three touchdowns.
Yeah. Mm. So it's just like D'Amico Ryans comes in the game. There's a lot of, instead of red panties, it's toast, toast. We're gonna isolate our running back on him and see what happens as he blows out his hammy and groin.
Now I have a question: why they only ran it three times?
He was a backup, so he only rotated in when somebody had to come out.
He was only in three times.
This he was in for three plays,
and they burned
and
him
they
all
had three
times.
Touchdowns.
Eventually, unfortunately,
coach caught on after three.
We had to sit our white we had to sit our white nickel, and that's saying something because at BYU sometimes that's all we got is we got to go with a white DB.
What high school is this?
I cannot say.
Why not?
Because it's too obvious.
Jesuit?
It would not be Jesuit. They haven't been in state title in a while.
Oh.
No shots fired at Jesuit.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy who doesn't know who plays in the state title regularly. Wes Lynn.
I'm literally not going to.
It's going to be like yesterday's show where you just start rattling off names and just see what we can do.
Come on, draft gnome.
Who was the team in the NCAA tournament yesterday?
Tarleton State.
Grand Canyon, dude.
Tarleton.
Tarleton.
Oh, there you go.
All right. The show's already off the rails. I blame Sukanik.
Well, I'm half drunk. Don't blame me. I gave you a fair warning about what was going to happen on today's program.
Well, Nimick, you ready to talk draft?
Oh.
Put this guy down.
So hard.
Oh. Are your sports pants?
Excuse me, I have to go clean myself off.
Don't we have Rop cleaning himself off? God. Don't we have that drop?
Well, let's see. What do we have? We have...
I came hard today. I'm coming hard.
Guys.
Well, I had to squirt.
That
wow.
one?
Wow.
That was pee.
Okay, it is.
What's he gonna do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know. It is.
You guys are giving off real hard Friday vibes. I've never been on the show with you guys on a Friday, and I'm already.
Welcome.
You know what? This has been fun. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Yeah.
No, let's get to it. All right. Somebody's got to keep the professionalism around here. It's not going
to
be Sukanik.
Whatever. I'm the moral anchor of this program. Yeah. You two over there.
No one believes that. Let's get started with our NFL day one draft Dewberry. Do you know what a Dewberry is?
I have no idea, but I'm excited to find out.
What is a Dewberry?
It's like a blackberry.
I was going to say, now I kind of want to know. Is that like a huckleberry?
It's more like a blackberry.
What's a huckleberry then?
I'm your huckleberry.
Also like a blackberry.
Yeah.
Is everything like a blackberry?
Yeah,
berries.
Basically.
And by the way, that's a misnomer in Tombstone. He screwed it up. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be Hucklebearer.
Yeah, I heard that. That's amazing.
Val Kilmer was a moron and couldn't say it. So they left it in. It's not Huckleberry. It's Hucklebearer.
That makes more sense.
Hucklebearer was someone that would hold the handle of your casket while you walked. That was a Hucklebearer.
Which actually makes it way more imposing. Like, I'll carry your casket
at
the funeral.
It's so dumb. I'm your Huckleberry. And that means nothing. I'm your Hucklebearer. I'm going to kill you and then carry your casket. That's so... Fun little Tombstone fact there.
I prefer Huckleberry.
Me too. I don't like changing that.
He's had his little accent, you know, that he was doing. The sister is, I'm your Huckleberry. It's supposed to be Huckleberry, but it came out Huckleberry, and then everyone kind of ran with it.
All right, let's recap day one. Look ahead to day two. Coming up next, 316 on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, please have me along. It is day two of the NFL draft. We will have Joey Harrington coming up at 5:30. And it's good timing because, you know, Joey did spend a season with Sean Payton and Drew Brees in New Orleans. He knows Bo Nix well.
Well, I am intrigued by the whole Sean Payton thing because we love, and I'm not trying to slight Sean Payton at all. Like, very bright offensive mind. Obviously, what he did in New Orleans, won a Super Bowl. But, like, we talk about Sean Payton like he's this absolute quarterback whisperer and that he can do no wrong. He had Drew Brees. Last time I checked, Drew Brees, really, really good. What else has Sean Payton done that leads anyone to believe that he is a quarterback whisperer? I'd make the argument that this, I mean, because clearly this is his pick by getting Bo Nix. Sean Payton's legacy, to some extent, is now tied to Bo Nix. If Bo Nix is successful, Sean Payton really cements himself as one of the all-time greats. If he doesn't, and this doesn't work out, and 4 years down the road, Nix is out of the league, Sean Payton's probably fired. I think we view Sean Payton very, very differently. So there is a lot on the line here for both of these guys.
Well, and he's all in. Did you see Adam Schefter's tweet about the Bo Nix pick? It was weird.
What did he say?
It was an all-timer. Schefter tweeted that Sean Payton last fell in love with the quarterback when it was Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs traded up with the Bills just ahead of him, and they got Marshawn Lattimore instead. He said he was just, after going through the draft process, he is every bit as confident in Bo Nix as he was in Patrick Mahomes. When you tie yourself like that and say something like that, that guy better work out. Because there are a lot of folks who think tools-wise, as great as cerebral as Bo Nix is, if we're just talking pure tools, he's the least toolsy quarterback that was taken in the first round. So he better be great.
Well, in defense of Sean Payton, hasn't he, I mean, besides last year in Denver, has he worked with another quarterback?
Well, I mean, he was in Philadelphia for a bunch of years. He wasn't retained by Andy Reid, but he was in Philly, and then he was with the Giants.
So he worked with McNabb?
Yeah, he would have worked with McNabb. And then he was in the Giants for a brief stint, and then he was in Dallas, but that was like Quincy Carter and Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe a little bit. And then, obviously, he lands the head job with the Saints.
But he didn't have another quarterback in New Orleans, did he? Were there any years that he didn't have Drew Brees?
No, I think he was Drew Brees
the whole
entire time.
Well, he stayed after Brees retired, though. So he had Winston and
those guys.
And he got some good. He actually got some decent years out of Winston. Winston wasn't a superstar, but he got some decent years out of him.
I mean, I don't know.
Again, I talked about this yesterday, where people decide, well, he has a type, and it's like, well, he had Drew Brees, so yeah, that's his type, but. Did he have just Drew Brees for 15 years, and so we think that's a type?
Right.
Or does he really prefer, and it turns out Sean Payton really does prefer, like, the cerebral, that toolsy, check-down quarterback.
Well, I mean, you're always going to, as a head coach, want to do it the way that you had success with previously, right? Like, that's how you know. So he probably does this next quarterback doesn't have to be Drew Brees, but he wants Drew Brees-like qualities because he knows that that works. He saw that work.
Well, so so he was with Drew Brees. Drew Brees left in 2020, so he had 1 year that would have been Winston.
One year, and then he bailed.
And they went 9-8, and then he bailed, and then he comes back in Denver in his first year after taking the break, and 8-9, and obviously that wasn't great, and they moved on for Russell Wilson. So again, throwing no shade at Sean Payton. But Sean Payton in New Orleans was good. But there were some years there. Remember when they were in salary cap hell? There was a stretch there where they went 7-9 three straight years. And then they kind of turned over the roster a little bit. And Brees had a resurgence. Remember, for a while, we thought Brees was cooked. And then, they had the awful playoff, pass interference non-call.
Well, didn't they get in trouble, too, for the
Spygate? Or not Spygate, but Bountygate.
Bountygate, yeah.
So, Greg Williams.
Greg Williams. Yeah. So, look, Sean Payton, you win a Super Bowl, and he's a very, very bright offensive mind. I just think sometimes we did this with, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, the quarterback whisperer. Why? Because he worked with Tom Brady. I think Sean Payton has more to prove than anyone is saying. Well, so it's like this, Bo Nix couldn't go to a better situation. I'm not certain because Denver is going through a total teardown rebuild. You look at what they let go, right? They got rid of Jerry Jeudy, right? They didn't make any effort to re-sign Cushenberry. Garrett Bowles people think this is his last year. They let go of Simmons, their best defensive player. They don't really have, I think, what, Courtin Sutler. Sutton is their best wide receiver.
They're talking about trading Patrick Surtain to, like, right, literally rip it to the studs.
They spent 6 picks to go out and get Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. So from a talent standpoint, it's the worst team in that division by far. And you've got Sean Payton in there, who we all respect and we all think can be really good. But outside of Drew Brees, you know, I just think that is more of a question mark for both of those guys, because that is a tear down rebuild with a lot to prove from a quarterback that some people think is not worthy of the 12 pick. And from some people that are asking the question, is Sean Payton really the genius that some people are saying he is?
Well, you know who would know? This is what I was teasing. You know who would know that? Mm-hmm. Would have a pretty damn good perspective on that?
Yeah.
Our guest today.
Yeah.
Harrington was on the Saints 1 year with Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So, and he knows Bo Nix well. So he'll be joining us at 5:30 in 2 hours to see if he agrees with you or maybe he thinks you're an idiot.
Well, again, I'm not saying that it's bad. I just think it's more, I just don't think it's the situation. Like, everyone today that I've heard is like, Bo and Sean Payton, match made in heaven. Can't, you know, this is beautiful. Sean gets his sort of player. And for Bo Nix, he gets to work under Sean Payton. And it's like this match made in heaven. And all I'm saying is situations make quarterbacks and situations make franchises. And I think this is a much tougher situation. Like, Chicago has never had a quarterback. But if you look at what Caleb Williams is going into and what Sean Payton is coming into with Bo Nix, and I get Eberflus and there's a new OC there and it's Chicago, Caleb Williams is set up to succeed a hell of a lot more than Bo Nix is going, you know, and that's usually not the case when you're talking about the 12 pick and the number one overall pick.
All right, got to tell you, it was a false alarm. Damian Lillard is back in the game.
Is he moving okay?
He's a little gimpy, and
boy, it looked bad.
Yeah, he doesn't look one hundo, but yeah, he's taking the ball at the court here. Yeah, he looks pretty
well. You got to do something because you're.
I think he just rolled his ankle.
Well, you're getting your ass kicked by Indiana right now.
I don't know. I'll text him.
Yeah, get Danny to
see what
text
he says. Here's our poll question today. It is on X at 1080 The Fan, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business, helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com.
What is the deal?
Yesterday we asked you which quarterback will be the best in the NFL. Caleb Williams winning that poll, 38%, followed by Michael Penix Jr., 28%, Bo Nix, 26%, Jaden Daniels, no one has any faith in, 8%. Today's question, it is up there for you, pinned to the top of our X account, so vote and vote hard. Who has or will have the most sports pressure on them? Kalen DeBoer, Caleb Williams, Kirk Cousins, or Caitlin Clark?
Mm.
Lots of cuz.
Well, I'll tell you what, every one of those is in a pressure cooker. Yeah. Every freaking
that's
one.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm inclined to say Caitlin Clark because
unlike she's got a whole sport on her back.
Yes. And believe me, you're already starting to see some people that are rooting against her because of when you become that big, the maggots, the haters come out, and you're already seeing members of the national media that and other players that are ready to pull her chair out from underneath her from a rating standpoint, a success standpoint, all of that. That's a lot to handle for a 21-22 year old anybody.
I agree with that. I hear you on that. I think she's good enough that she's not going to fail. Like, I think she's going to probably be a multi-time all-star. The entire city of Chicago is like, hey, we finally have a legendary quarterback.
Right, and we don't know if she's,
and it's like,
or if he's.
We kind of know Caitlin Clark's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, but we don't know about Caleb
Williams. What if Caleb Williams is Zach Wilson?
Right.
He
just falls apart in 2 years. People are going to be like, not again, you did this again. I mean, I don't know. The Caleb Williams with the painted nails shtick, that could go wear thin in Chicago really quickly.
Williams broke Caitlin Clark's record for jersey merch sales day one.
Look, it's also really hard for Kirk Cousins when you have...
Oh, it's true.
The clipboard... you know, the backup quarterback is always a hero to fans when the quarterback is when the starter is starting, much less when it's like the rookie sensation that everybody thinks is going to be great. That's tough.
Wait till the first time on a road game, prime time, where he throws three picks.
No
two
question.
Picks, it's like,
it's going to come fast.
Yeah. Well, and they're in that division that's not very good. So everyone's just like, well, the Falcons need to win the division. It's like their defense is still absolutely awful. Remember, we all thought they'd soup up the defense this year, and instead they took your replacement, Kirk?
Here's the question.
That's tough, too.
Does Michael Penix start, injuries aside, no, I'm not talking about injuries.
Oh.
Does Michael Penix start a game next season for the Atlanta Falcons?
If he does, and it's not because of injury, you totally mismanaged your roster.
Something has gone really awry.
Something has gone terrible.
I'm going to say no. Yeah. Barring injury.
I don't think he will either.
I don't
barring
think so.
Of course, barring injury.
Dude, they spent, they gave, $180 million, 100 of it guaranteed. I mean,
it's a lot of dough.
That's the only part about that I don't understand. You knew Penix was going to be there at 8. Why did you sign Cousins in the first? I don't know. That one.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's like an awful thing. If it works out down the road, a la Green Bay, then, you know, hey, more power to you. I don't understand. In a vacuum, that makes sense, but this isn't a vacuum. So when you look at everything that's happened over the last 6 years, not making the postseason, that you should have won the division last 2 years with even competent quarterback play. When you look at the totality of what they're doing as a franchise, the Penix pick made no sense. In fact, it's probably the biggest what happened moment in the last 10 years of the draft.
Did you hear Terry Fontenot's quote about it?
And yes. He
said,
GM.
Even if Penix doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, it's okay because that means we're doing really well at quarterback. Hey, dude, there are 21 other starters on your team. You could beef up any of those 21 other spots rather than, in a good scenario, as he put it, you can have Penix not play for 4 or 5 years. How about take an edge rusher, dude? Yeah. Like, really, your justification is even if Penix doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, it means we're doing good? That's not how football works.
All right, let's get to a day one recap with Andrew Nimick. Who does he think had the best picks yesterday? And then we'll look ahead to round two coming up, which starts in about 25 minutes here on The Fan. It is 3:34. Let's go to Ryan Buckley, sports.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we were joined yesterday and today by our draft gnome, Andrew Nimick. Now, when we left you last night, we had gotten through the first 15 picks. Seattle picked right as you jumped on the air with your recruiting show. What did you think of Seattle taking Byron Murphy there?
I loved that pick. I love that pick. They said in their conference, their news conference, that he was the number one defensive player on their board, and I totally believe it. Based on what they needed physical presence inside for the defensive line. Those guys don't grow on trees, and I know we all think of edge rushers as being a premium position. It's becoming the case that good, disruptive guys who can push the pocket as defensive tackles are extremely valuable.
Well, and he's a three technique that sometimes in that scheme, even with Sweat, who's a much
380
bigger,
pounds,
that they would put Murphy at the nose. Murphy is a true penetrating three, but it's, and I hate the comparison, but they do this with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is a three technique, plays outside of the guard and wrecks havoc, but can move inside and play the nose. Same sort of the same sort of disruptive force.
Well, we talked about it in previewing the draft before it happened. If in fact it went heavy quarterback early, that there were some teams in the mid-teens that were really going to benefit. So when I look at who I think won the draft, I think it's a bunch of those teams in that 14 down to 22 with the Eagles getting Quinyon Mitchell. They needed a corner really bad. They get the number one corner on their board. He's a perfect fit for what they do, and they didn't have to move. I mean, that's phenomenal drafting. Jared Verse is a big physical presence. The Rams needed that on the defensive line.
Steelers.
With Aaron Donald being out. I love Troy Fatanu for the Steelers. Some people were talking about him being a top 10 pick. A big physical guy that can play tackle or either guard spot. Just fits what the Steelers are. I just thought the teams in the mid to late teens really benefited from that quarterback run in a way that they're my big winners.
Well, it just seemed like, and you alluded to this yesterday, but it just seemed like the bad teams, and those are the teams that are all picking up higher in the draft, they all stretch for quarterbacks. Meanwhile, the good teams, the teams picking lower in the draft, just sit there and laugh and just gobble up all the surefire defensive players. Like, I mean, it's amazing how this continues to happen, where you just stretch, bad teams stretch and stretch and stretch to try to get their franchise quarterback. Meanwhile, all these good players, like you said, Philly, Pittsburgh, Seattle, they're just sitting there going, God, this is too easy.
Yeah, and there was some question with Seattle because I don't believe they have a second-round pick. And there were some people that said, what if they trade down from 16 and acquire, you know, maybe get 31 from the Niners and 63 so the Niners can get their tackle, and then they can have two picks and kind of two swings at this thing. And I'm sure they talked about it in their draft room and went, we can't not take Byron Murphy. There aren't defensive tackles every draft as good as he is.
There's one,
and we can get him at 16.
There's 1-3 technique in this entire draft that people had a first round grade on, and he was there for you. So sometimes you don't outthink the room. They're hearing from some people that, you know, that he was top 10 on their board, period.
And he absolutely was. The Falcons were torn between Penix and Byron Murphy. They went Penix, obviously.
Yeah.
And the Bears were either going to, I mean, they talked about it. If Adunze was there, they were going to take Adunze. If it wasn't Adunze, they were going to take Murphy. So a number of teams had Murphy as the number one defensive player on their board in a draft. And the Seahawks got him at 60. I mean, that never happened. So I thought that was awesome. I A-plus for the Seahawks. A-plus. The other team that I love is the Lions. They had a real need at corner. They let the board kind of fall to them a little bit. They traded up just slightly. They didn't have to make a major move. And they get Terrion Arnold, who, again, some people had as their number one corner. Yeah. And he's a perfect fit for what they do. So I thought a number of teams in the second half of the draft or the first round crushed it with, like, fit, need.
What about Dallas? Great. You fit Dallas with that? They traded back and took Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Do you like him?
How long you got? I like Tyler Guyton. Tyler Guyton is the most athletic tackle in this draft. In fact, he was just an absolutely giant, freaky tight end at Oklahoma. And they went, what if we put 30 or 40 pounds on him and made him a tackle?
That's Joe Alt, too.
So he's extremely raw. But athletically, if it all comes together, you put him next to Zach Martin, he has a chance to be an all-pro someday. He also could be a guy that's a bust. He's a true boom or bust guy, but they were able to move back and get the last of the round one tackles. So I think by acquiring the draft assets they did and still getting a tackle, they achieved what they wanted to. The question is, Tyler Guyton, of almost anyone in this first round, has high, high, high ceiling, low, low, low floor, and it could fall anywhere in between and no one would be surprised.
I wanted to ask you about two O-linemen, because the two that I really disliked was Mims, the big tackle going to Cincinnati. He started 7 games. Even Nick Saban was like, dude, he pulled himself out of the game. He's overweight. I think he has very, very heavy feet. And if you're Cincinnati, you're in win mode now. And you just drafted a big, to me, fairly unathletic body that is the definition of a project. That one didn't make any sense. And then Green Bay going with, again, a project tackle that a lot of people think projects to move into guard. When I watched him play at Arizona, and I'm talking about Jordan Morgan, I never thought I was watching a first-round pick, so I know you do a little deeper dive. So your thought on those, because I thought those were kind of head-scratchers to me, two teams that I think needed players to play right away, and I just didn't necessarily understand the fit.
I think it's a great call-out. In general, once we got past Mims Guyton, Troy Fatanu, there's a gap. And so whoever took the next tackle was going to be reaching, whether that was Kingsley Suamataia, whether that was Jordan Morgan, whether that was Roger Rosengarten from Washington, yeah. whoever took OT, I believe it's OT 10, offensive tackle 10, that yeah. sounds crazy, but I think that's right, was going to be reaching. It's funny that it's a reach because Jordan Morgan's big thing is he has short arms. He might end up sliding inside and being a guard.
Yeah.
If they want to make him a guard, I actually like the pick more.
But why wouldn't you go with Barton out of Duke that can play?
Because he's a center. He's a true center. He's a true center. He grades out as a potential Pro Bowl center or a slightly above league average guard, and okay. that's why he slid. Because yeah. people said, well, he can play all five positions. Here's the thing. You can only play one in the NFL, and if you don't have a high ceiling at any – why are we reaching for you? So that, yes, I agree with you. The Jordan Morgan pick, a little bit of a head scratcher for me. And then you mentioned Mims. Mims worries me because everyone says athletic freak. Oh my goodness. He's 6'8", 340 pounds. How come he couldn't get on the field at Georgia? And
he started like seven games.
Then they said, well, he had nagging ankle injuries. If he's young and he's 340 pounds at 6'8", and he's already having nagging ankle injuries, is that going to get better with an NFL workload? It's not. And so I have real concerns about Mims from an injury standpoint. Also, there are people who thought, as raw as Guyton is, now he's only played offensive line for 2 years. He's been a tight end. As raw as Guyton is, you could find draft people who said, Guyton's already more advanced than Mims. There were people who absolutely hated Mims. I get it. 6'8", 340. He's got the dancing bear potential if you slim him down. But that's a dude who probably needs a year to be a year away from being a good player.
And you're going into Cincinnati.
And you're trying to win today.
Now, with Cincinnati. Now.
They're two great call-outs. The other team I really liked, and we don't give them enough love, Trevor Lawrence is getting to the point where you better surround him with something. And I think to go get Brian Thomas Jr., they obviously were away from being able to climb up to get one of the big three. I think Brian Thomas Jr. has a chance to be a very special receiver. They lost Calvin Ridley, and everybody went, they better trade for Ayuk or Debo or Higgins because they desperately need a receiver. It was nice for them to go to 23. They traded down and still got Brian Thomas Jr. I thought that was a nice little sneaky pick that not enough people are talking about.
All right, a couple of receivers I want to ask you about when we get back pertaining to the two teams that played in the Super Bowl. And then we're getting pretty close to round two kicking off here. So it is 3:47. We'll be right back with more Andrew Nemec on The Fan. All right, Andrew Nemec is with us, our draft gnome. Two receivers I wanted to ask you about went late in the first round. What did you think of the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy and then your Niners with Ricky Pearsall?
It has to be the end of someone in San Francisco.
I know that people are going to think I'm making this up, but can confirm. Before we came in yesterday, I told him I want Ricky Pearsall for the Niners. And that's who they took.
This is true. He said, and he hoped that they could get him in the second round, but it appears after the Niners drafted him, there were other teams that were probably going to draft him before it could get back to the Niners. So that was the guy Nemec wanted.
I wanted them to trade to like 36, 37 and take Ricky Pearsall. And so
wide receiver from Florida.
I'm really happy with Ricky Pearsall.
And he's white.
What's interesting is the way it's being framed. And listen, receivers actually have the lowest hit rate of any position for a second contract. I think it's 27% of receivers who are taken in the first round get a second contract from the team that drafted them. It's literally last in of all positions. So who knows? It's a crapshoot, right? When Justin Jefferson went ahead of Jalen Reagor or behind Jalen Reagor, nobody said at the time, that's terrible. And now it looks horrible.
Have you seen the videos of the Vikings laughing at the Eagles?
No, I haven't.
There's a great one because that was during the COVID. That was the COVID draft, yeah. So everyone was at home. There is a great clip out there of Minnesota Zimmer and their GM and everybody. And when the pick comes in and it's Reagor, they all start laughing, like literally laughing out loud. And they're they're like, oh my God. They're like, pick in Justin Jefferson. So
I didn't know Justin Jefferson would be great, but yeah. I thought Jalen Reagor was a third round guy at best. What's funny is the way it's being framed. So Xavier Worthy, people are like, Chiefs did a great job. Dane Brugler, who I think does a phenomenal job, has Xavier Worthy as wide receiver 10. The Chiefs gave up a third-round pick to move up to get him. The Niners stood pat. Ricky Pearsall is their wide receiver, is Dane Brugler's wide receiver 9. They didn't give up a third-round pick and took him, and everybody goes, that's a reach, that's terrible. And it all goes to show you that people mostly just pay attention to mock drafts, and since Xavier Worthy ran a fast 40, people think that's a great pick and the Niners suck. Again, the Chiefs gave up a third-rounder to take wide receiver 10. The Niners took wide receiver 9 and stayed pat, and it's Chiefs A+, Niners D-.
Well, you get why people trust the Chiefs.
Of course.
But you should also trust the Niners.
They did a pretty good job drafting Ayuk and Debo in the late first, early second. Listen, this is all kind of a crapshoot. The reason I like Pearsall is they need help in the return game. Pearsall's an excellent slot. You see in recent years people ding the idea of getting good slots. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a slot. CeeDee Lamb is a slot. That's not you know, a knock on a guy anymore. It's part of football. And as teams are running more too high, you can't just throw deep to an X receiver. You need an underneath guy to be consistent. Pearsall is unbelievable at creating separation. He's got great hands. And when you look at what's gone on recently, the last 2 years with Debo Samuel, part of the reason Debo disappears in big games is teams go man-to-man with him, and he can't separate anymore. They needed a true separator, and that's what Ricky Pearsall is. So I thought it made a lot of sense. It's the reason before the draft I went, Pearsall would be a great addition for the Niners. Xavier Worthy is the Chiefs saying, we're tired of dinking and dunking, and we think we've earned enough respect from defenses that those safeties are going to start creeping, and now we're going to be able to throw over the top to Worthy. If it works out, the potential dynamism of that offense is back to the good old days. But Worthy fights the ball. He doesn't have great hands. He's unbelievably fast, but he's like 160-something pounds, and it's great when you're fast. But if you ever get caught and you get hit, he might have injury issues because he's so small. So it'll be interesting. The potential of Worthy is really fascinating, but in reality, it'll be interesting to see how teams handle that and if he really can be that impactful.
I mean, slot receivers, by the way, I mean, even some of the very best, when Devontae Adams is at his best since he's been to Vegas, it's been in the slot. Justin Jefferson runs out of the slot. Cooper Kupp, when he had his record-breaking season, was running out of the slot. Tyreek Hill.
You can even go back to, like, Larry Fitzgerald was in the slot. So we've been doing this for a whole generation of receivers now, and people still want to take shots he's a slot.
That's why slot corner has been, or the nickel corner has become such a big deal, is that this is Travis Kelce. And a lot of these tight ends now are dominating from the slot. We have got to stop the narrative that somehow your slot receiver and your slot or nickel corner is like an afterthought. Like, well, we've got our outside receiver and we've got our starting corner, so yeah, we'll throw that. It's just not the case anymore. Teams are, and even the elite outside receivers are coming inside to do more and more damage because it's what defenses are. Everything comes in cycles, and right now the cycle is you're not going to beat us over the top. We're going to take away the sidelines from you, and teams are getting better, especially with all the motions and shifts and RPOs now, and the play action game coming back. It's becoming more of an inside out game.
I do want to remind folks of this too. I talked about this in the preview before the draft started, that I thought there were roughly 20 first round guys. The Niners are the only team that went on record about how many first round grades they had. They had 22. And I said, you throw in some quarterbacks that are going to go high, it'll probably get to 25 or 26. I mean, this is the best draft. Guys are saying the same thing. There's roughly 25, 26 first round, maybe less. Once you get to 27, 28, 29, 30 in this draft, all the way down to about 65, that's all going to be just a group of dudes. So people are going to say, you reached. There really isn't going to be a reach in round two. If somebody takes somebody in round two that you go, man, Dane Brugler had a fifth round grade on him. Well, as Daniel Jeremiah tweeted, there are going to be guys taken in the second round that some people have sixth round grades on now, because there's just a drop off. This was a star-studded draft and then a really nice chunk of about 50 to 60 players. And then after that, it's really bad because 80 gradable drafted players went back because they got big NIL deals that they thought would be in this draft. That's more than two rounds of players that are normally in a draft that aren't anymore. So day three is going to get really ugly. So if your team takes a guy in the mid-second that's number 89 on somebody's board, don't be shocked. Troy Franklin is number 75 on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. If he'd have gone in the first round of the Niners, some people would have been like, he's great, he was supposed to be a first rounder. Well, he's a third round grade for Daniel Jeremiah. Once you get past 25-ish, it's all kind of pick your flavor.
Is there any of those stars left? They've all been picked?
They've all been picked.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Cooper DeJean is still sitting there, but He's such an outlier. No white outside corner has been taken since 1969. And we can make fun of that. But the reality is the NFL hates outliers. And they literally have – the reason we have the combine is to make sure guys check barometers. Like, you have to have a certain broad jump. It's a 10-foot broad jump to have a 12-sack season for, like, the last 20 years. If you have a broad jump under 10 feet, no one's ever had a 10-sack, 12-sack season who broad jumps less than 10. And you can say, well, that's silly. You have to be that good an athlete. That's just the benchmark.
You got to have the ass explosiveness. I mean, people like
that's
the –
that's just the benchmark.
So does DeGene not have the –
no, he's a great athlete. He's just white.
I think, yeah.
So he hits all the benchmarks, but they just don't trust that he's that great of an athlete because he's white.
I honestly think that's a big part of it. You'll hear a number of people who say he's a safety. He grades out as an athletic outside corner. Mm-hmm. He played one snap at safety in Iowa, and
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
All sorts of evaluators.
He should sue for racial discrimination.
The only reason people say he's a safety is honestly because he's white. It's true. He has played no safety. He's played nickel and he's played outside corner, and his benchmarks are better than some of the other guys who are true corners. It's very strange.
Yeah, he ran 4.4 at his pro day.
He was the
but he's white.
He was the long jump state champion, and in basketball, he broke Harrison Barnes' career scoring record in the state of Iowa.
He's white.
But he's white.
Look, we don't trust white corners. We can't do it. It's unnatural.
I mean, we have to root for this guy. He is the Jackie Robinson of white corners.
You
want to
go a whole other controversy? He's also said that he could beat Caitlin Clark 1-on-1 in hoops.
People can get as mad as they want about that. He would absolutely destroy her.
But some Caitlin Clark.
He was unbelievable. He was an unbelievable, historically great high school basketball player.
Well, I'm not rooting for this guy.
And he tries
we
really
all
hard.
Are. What
he
are you
tries
talking
really
about?
Hard.
He's on the bandwagon.
He's white.
All right. What's next? Buffalo on the clock. Round two about to get underway. It is 4:01 on the Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.